It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. In the news today, Donald Trump's been saying this presidential election is rigged. His own running mate says it's not. And so does Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Kaine.
When you criticize the system, who are you criticizing? You're criticizing American voters, and you're criticizing local elected officials in cities and counties and states who have been run on elections, you know, for decades and decades and decades.
How much does it matter whether Donald Trump accepts the election results? We're going to get into that today on KUOW's All Things Considered. Now, it's looking like third-party candidates might get more votes in this election than they've gotten in decades. Jill Stein in the Green Party, Gary Johnson, the Libertarian, Independent Evan McMullen, not to mention write-in candidates. One of the most successful third-party candidates in modern politics is Ralph Nader. Some people still blame him for the outcome of the 2000 election when George W. Bush became president. Now, in 2016, Ralph Nader's mostly staying out of presidential politics.
I don't endorse because that's like a flat-out support for whatever the candidate does. So I do say nice things and or critical things about candidates as the months go by. I think the best platform, one I ran on, is the Green Party platform, very broad, very deep, from labor, poverty, environment, international military, foreign policy, corporate power, good. And I think Jill Stein is pretty faithful to that platform.
Here in Washington State, you can vote for Jill Stein, and we pretty much know Hillary Clinton's going to win Washington. What do you say to voters in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida?
Vote your conscience. Vote for the best candidate. The minute we start tactical voting, we lose our ability to have any leverage, because when you say, well, let's say Hillary is the least worst compared to Trump, I have to vote for Hillary, you give up your bargaining power. The only thing these major party candidates understand is when they lose votes, when they go into office, and the only leverage you have over them is if you are going to take votes away from them on their effort to be reelected.
A famous example, of course, was in 2000 in the crucial state of Florida when Bush beat Gore by just a few hundred votes, and you got 97,000 votes in Florida. What did you do with that leverage? What was good about that outcome?
Well, that was a scapegoating by the Democratic Party, so they blocked me from testifying in Congress, for example, numerous times. But the scapegoating is an apt term, because 300,000 registered Democrats in Florida voted for Bush, not for Gore. And the Secretary of State of Jeb Bush's administration in Tallahassee took away all kinds of votes by misidentifying ex-felons and therefore taking away their right to vote. And, of course, Bush was never elected to anything. He was selected by a 5-4 political decision of the U.S. Supreme Court, blocking the Florida Supreme Court's order for a full state recount. So why blame the Greens for all that?
You say that when a third party becomes very, very relevant, that gives that third party, you said leverage, bargaining power. What was accomplished in 2000?
I think before the election, Gore became more critical of corporations. He went after the oil companies. He went after the insurance companies, the drug companies. And when he looked at my modest polls, and I was told by former people in the campaign that it did adjust his positions. But in the past, Bill, Franklin Delano Roosevelt adopted some of Norman Thomas's Socialist Party challenge, and that's happened throughout history. The small parties put the issues on the table, like the Abolition Party against slavery in 1840, the Women's Right to Vote parties, the Labor Farmer parties. They put them on the table of the big parties, and sooner or later, one of them adopts them.
Didn't Bernie Sanders accomplish something like that by running not in a third party, but as a Democrat?
Yes, he did, at least rhetorically. I mean, she began to adopt his language. You're quite right about that. Higher minimum wage. She didn't go to $15 like people in Seattle are going to get soon, but she went to $12, and she talked about student loan assistance. Things like that. But it doesn't mean that rhetoric is going to apply should she be elected president, because she's been known to talk one way inside business conventions, closed door, without releasing her transcripts, and talk another way on the hustings to the American people.
In just a hypothetical, if somehow in this election a third party vote were to be the difference and Donald Trump were to squeak into office, what would be good about that?
There wouldn't be anything good about that, but it wouldn't be the third party. It would be the frail Democratic Party that couldn't beat an egomaniac, thin-skinned blusterer, a failed gambling czar, and a corporate welfare king who didn't pay taxes and cheated all his business dealings with workers, creditors, suppliers, and taxpayers. So, I mean, you know, why blame the little green party? Blame the big major party that couldn't defend the United States of America from the worst Republican Party in history. I want to show people that they've got to look to themselves. Unless we have citizen movements in this country, the way you have had in Seattle on some economic issues, to shape the political movements, the electoral movements, to participate in demanding different kinds of debates around the country, and not just three hoked up debates run by a corporate funded commission on presidential debates, we're not going to get anywhere just being spectators. We got a circus barker, and we got a failed politician who has high unfavorable ratings along with Trump. That's not good enough for the American people. We deserve better.
Will the Trump candidacy and the near Republican civil war help break up the two-party system?
It may break up the Republican Party, Bill. You can see the defections now. Paul Ryan is removing himself from defending Trump. John McCain has already pulled out. Maybe two dozen candidates for Congress have already pulled out, and Trump is attacking them viciously. So he's imploding his own party. The way he's going, the Republican Party is going to be the Trump dump.
A complaint about third parties is that they toss out a presidential candidate every 4 years, but they don't put enough work into congressional and state races where they have a chance to build a movement. How fair is that?
That's very fair. You're quite accurate. Part of it is they don't have any money. The second part is they don't have many local candidates for office, you know, city council, board of education. That helps build the party. And the other part is that these third parties are supported by people who are not long-distance runners. They're more protest, unfortunately. They may be believers in the party, small party platforms. I don't want to deny that. But they too, sort of swallow this defeatism that only one of the two major parties can win. The system is rigged against third parties. And so between elections, they don't rev it up as they should.
Getting more traction this year than the Green Party is the Libertarians. Do you root for the Libertarians, too, because at least they're not Republicans or Democrats?
I don't like their opposition to Medicare, to health and safety, life-saving regulation. I don't abide by that at all, but I like their civil liberties position. They want to amend the Patriot Act and protect people's privacy. I like their anti-empire. They want to cut back on the bloated military budget, and they want more diplomacy and peace rather than a brute force foreign policy. And I like their opposition to corporate welfare, which they call crony capitalism, forcing the taxpayers to bail out businesses that are not run properly, mismanaged, or crooked.
If a listener is agreeing with you right now and wants more choice than elephants and donkeys, what's the number one thing they should do?
They should ask their parties or their candidates how much power are they shifting from the few to the voters, the consumers, the workers, people in communities, the taxpayers. If there isn't a shift of power from the few to the many, the few, what's called the plutocracy, or Wall Street connecting to Washington, will decide for the many. And they haven't been making very good decisions in the last 40 years as our economy and society continues to deteriorate.
Talking with Ralph Nader, we've talked about the past and this election. What is your hope for the future?
An aroused citizenry, local, state, and national. That's the brunt of my little book, Breaking Through Power. It's easier than we think. And I give a lot of examples from U.S. history where very few people started turning the country around in health and safety and workers and civil rights, and where people now are doing that. And my thesis is that 1% or less of the American people organized in congressional districts, 435 of them in Congress, representing majority opinion, can defeat the most powerful corporate lobbies around. because there's only 535 men and women in Congress. What they want more than corporate money are your votes.
Ralph Nader's new book is called Breaking Through Power. It's easier than we think. And you can go hear him for yourself because he'll be at Town Hall Seattle this Friday.